Right now, rain is on the radar. Brand new models show when we'll see the heaviest showers and when we'll dry out and cool off.
Plus, a live look at wet roads town by town from the WRAL Storm Tracker. Then, Princess Kate sharing she has cancer. A local medical expert weighs in on why her diagnosis is considered rare. Then, are balloon releases really as bad for the environment as people say? We're going in depth.
Well, you know, this just isn't the way you want to start the weekend. We'll take a live look at Warrington tonight. You see the raindrops there on the lens. Yes, it will wash off the pollen a bit, so that's the good news. But come on, it's Friday.
Here's a live look at the radar. Pretty much no escape from this one. Thanks for being with us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. The rain is going to be with us for quite a while. So let's get things over to meteorologist Mike Mays, who is in the Severe Weather Center with the details.
It's only just begun. We have more rain coming in overnight. And already some of the rain has been heavy, perhaps in your location. We're seeing that donut hole, if you were following us at 6 o'clock here on WRAL, starting to fill in. Wake County starting to get more rain. Franklin County is too. And what initially moved through the triangle a couple hours ago is now in southern Virginia. And this is the area of rain to the south in South Carolina that I was watching now building up toward the north. So here is the northern part of the viewing area. You see those showers over toward Rollsville, heading toward Wake Forest and Purnell. And then farther south, more widespread rain. And if we looked at it farther to the south, it would be filling in South Carolina and Georgia. And future cast, hour by hour, ahead through the night, we'll see bands of showers, maybe an isolated thunderstorm up to about 11 o'clock. And then overnight and toward daybreak, the bands of rain become heavier, embedded thunderstorms as well. And I think from 2 o'clock to about 5 to 6 a.m., that's when we're going to have the heaviest rain shift through. And as I've been saying all day and even last night, once we get past 7 and 8 a.m., all the heavy rain moves out. We'll have just a small chance for some showers through the day tomorrow. Coming up in less than 15 minutes, I'll have a town-by-town look at Futurecast. See what you can expect in your neighborhood. Dan, Ashley?
All right. Thanks, Mike. Now let's go live to Aaron Thomas.
Yeah, Aaron, you're in Wake Forest, and we're hearing that a house may have been struck by lightning there. Do you know, is everyone okay?
Yeah, so the good news, Dan and Ashley, is that everyone is okay, but I did just finish speaking with the homeowners that live at this home on Whispering Branch Road. They call this situation unbelievable. It actually took about 45 firefighters to get this fire at this garage under control. I want to show you what we see now. It's clearly a charred mess. You have two vehicles inside. Can you just imagine all the gasoline coming from both vehicles just fueling the fire even further? The homeowner says that this sedan that you see here, this is their main source of transportation, and as a result, they have officially lost it. Dale, who also lives here, says that he happened to be in this garage 20 minutes before it caught on fire. It was because it was raining that he actually decided to go back into his home and actually just missed it. Many neighbors saying that it was scary. They heard a lightning strike, and a lot of them thought it was a tree that fell on a car. And then Miss Wendy, she was the one, the other person that lives at this home. She says that she looked outside and she saw flames coming from this garage. As I mentioned before, it's certainly a charred mess. The good news is that no one is hurt. They've lost their main source of transportation. Mr. Dell is here on scene. Firefighters, they are still trying to determine an official cause of this fire, but after consulting with meteorologist Mike Macy, says that there was at least one lightning strike in this area at around 5 o'clock this evening. So of course it's something we'll be staying on top of and watching as more rain is expected to move in the area later tonight. Back to you.
All right, Aaron, right now in the live center, we are getting some new information. It appears the terror group known as ISIS has claimed responsibility for the attack this afternoon in Moscow that is taking the lives of at least 40 people on your screen. This is video from inside that concert venue where you can see those shooters walk in and open fire. We paused it right around this area, and then we'll change to some video from the exterior to show the flames there as the thick black smoke billowed into the air. So right now, the new information at 7 o'clock is the group ISIS is claiming responsibility for that attack. We'll certainly keep you up to date as new information comes in here this evening. Back to you.
All right, Mark. Thank you. The Princess of Wales shutting up conspiracy theorists today. Kate Middleton announcing she has cancer. While she was undergoing chemotherapy, people all over the world gave in to palace intrigue, speculating about divorce, botched plastic surgery, even that she may be dead. Well, we know today she is alive, and she's fighting to keep it that way. The princess broke her silence in a video message saying that she spent 2 weeks in the hospital after an operation. Further testing found cancer.
As you can imagine, this has taken time. It has taken me time to recover from major surgery in order to start my treatment. But most importantly, It has taken us time to explain everything to George, Charlotte, and Louis in a way that's appropriate for them and to reassure them that I'm going to be okay.
It's still unclear what type of cancer Princess Kate has. At 42 years old, a cancer diagnosis for the Princess of Wales is actually considered rare. The average age is 66 years old. One local epidemiologist says cancer diagnoses in younger people are on the rise.
This is a trend that we're observing in the data and tracking of new cases in the U.S. and globally as well. Definitely something that's concerning for both oncologists, physicians, and cancer epidemiologists.
She went on to say most research currently focuses on older patients, and the assumption that younger patients are more likely to be healthy may need to change.
Get ready for some busy delays on a road in Wake County. This stretch here of NC50 is already pretty slow. People can find it a bit frustrating. It runs south of Rand Road all the way past Buffalo Road. The town of Garner, though, is going to widen that stretch, which does mean relief is on the way. But first, the construction. WRL's Brett Mee spoke with a business owner who will have a front row seat.
With a new VA across the road and all kinds of growth in this area, Larry Estes tells me it's only going to get harder and harder to get out of their driveway after a long, hard day of work. That's why he says they need the state to come through with this project. Car after car rolls past Larry Estes' body shop south of Garner on NC50.
The traffic here is really bad. It bottlenecks right here in front of us. The stoplight here at Rand Road tends to bottleneck it.
For the past 27 years, Estes watched as traffic in the area increased since moving his shop to this location.
More and more people, and the building is not slowing down. South of here, all around us, it's exploding.
In the middle of the day, it's not so bad. But if there's an accident on 40, drivers generally use NC50 as a detour. That creates a slower ride to work for Estes.
To get here from there, we'll take an hour and a half because of the traffic backed up.
The DOT's plan to relieve some of the congestion in this area makes this stretch a four-lane highway. The work includes a new bridge over Swift Creek for the extra lanes, as well as sidewalks and a bike path.
We're trying to accommodate as many upgrades as possible to really help everyone, whether you're riding your bike, whether you're walking, or whether you're driving, you can do it, you know, safely.
Kim Diener with DOT says funding for the nearly $15 million project is in place. It comes at a time when construction on a new VA clinic is in its final phases. That alone could add nearly 1,000 cars a day on this stretch of road.
It's one of the fastest growing areas, that Garner area. So basically, I think we're going to hit it before it gets too much worse.
Estes tells me that plans for a project like this have been talked about in the past, but they never happen. DOT tells me this project is a go, and construction on the road should begin in 2026. In Garner, Brett Neese, WRL News.
Right now in the Live Center, we are following an update from Harnett County Sheriff's Department. A murder suspect is in custody after a shooting that happened back on March 17th. This is the photograph of the suspect who is now in custody. Darian Gale, 23 years old, of Dunn, accused of murdering 19-year-old Ashanti Monk back on March 17th. As I mentioned, this happened at a house party. We did have aerials of it to show you exactly.
So as we always say, if you think the media isn't covering something correctly, if you think we're leaving something out or we're just missing a big part of the story, let me know and we'll discuss it. And tonight is a perfect example of that. See, it is pretty clear you want to talk about balloon releases. Let me tee this up just a bit. WRL's most recent documentary focused on the safe storage of guns. And producer Kristen Severance profiled this young girl who died when another kid took a gun from his grandfather's safe and it led to a tragic accident. This story is heartbreaking and impactful and important, and you should watch it. But there was one specific part that got a lot of attention from some people, the balloon release, a symbolic act of letting go. We see this sort of thing a lot, especially when people die tragically, especially when those people are kids. And without fail, every time we air a balloon release, I get a lot of emails. Holly said, balloon releases are an environmental nightmare. Ann said, it makes me cringe to think of the harm it causes to the environment. And Jennifer said, I learned about the negatives of balloon releases in elementary school. I'm 47, time to educate a new generation. So, first of all, Jennifer, let's be careful here, all right? Our generation isn't exactly known for its conservation. For instance, in 1986, a few years after Jennifer was in elementary school, we witnessed Balloon Fest, a plan to promote the city of Cleveland by inflating more than 1 million balloons, filling a net the size of a city block, and then letting them fly.
And the fire end is up, and there they go, John.
The Guinness Book of World Records has just been broken in Cleveland. Over 1,500,000 balloons.
It was a spectacular sight and a horrible idea. When the balloons started to fall, they caused crashes on the roads. They shut down a local airport. Not to mention, Cleveland is on the coast of Lake Erie, where more than half of the balloons fell when the wind shifted, causing an environmental nightmare and complicating the search for two missing boaters who disappeared before the launch. Ah, the 80s. Shoot from the hip, blame the next guy. What a time. But here we are, 40 years later, and we still love us a balloon release. Birthday parties, weddings, graduations, gender reveals, holidays, you name it, we will celebrate by littering really far away. And you'd be shocked to learn how far a balloon can fly. In 2013, this boy from England did a school project where he and his classmates released 300 regular old balloons with notes attached. His was found by a girl named Millie in her backyard in southern Australia, more than 10,000 miles away. Do you know how far that is? That's like a balloon flying from here to California, and then back, and then back to California, and then back here again, and then back to California. And well, that's it, but that's far, that's really far. I talked about this with a scientist from Stanford who tracks this sort of thing.
And we find them out in oceans where we're studying whales or other marine fauna, so it's not totally uncommon to find balloons even out, you know, in the open ocean.
Now, as you probably know, litter in general is a huge problem in the ocean, and I mean that literally. This is video of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. There is an eastern patch and a western patch, and together they cover over 600,000 square miles, which is more than 12 times the size of North Carolina, of floating garbage. But it is important to note that even in that literal sea of trash, balloons stand out.
Not all debris is made equal, and balloons are among the most harmful known debris items that we find in our oceans and in our aquatic environments. They are more likely to cause harm, injury, and death to wildlife than most other types of debris.
You may remember this story from a few months ago when a young whale washed ashore in North Carolina in Emerald Isle. Scientists say it died after ingesting a plastic balloon. You can find countless stories like this from all over the world. There's an entire Facebook page dedicated to finding balloons and the animals they kill in the middle of the desert. So why isn't it illegal? Well, we have no specific laws against balloon releases here in North Carolina. Other states do. Earlier this month, intentional balloon releases were banned by the Florida legislature. So, what can you do instead of balloons? Well, lots of people turn to sky lanterns. This is also beautiful to see. Every year, there's this huge festival in Utah where they release thousands and thousands. They're sold as biodegradable, using paper and bamboo. And while that is true, they are biodegradable, it still takes decades for them to break down. Also, perhaps you noticed, they're filled with fire. In 2020, three women celebrating New Year's in Germany lit lanterns that drifted into a zoo and started a fire that killed 30 animals, including apes. Fires get started all the time from these floating flames, which is why a lot of states have banned them, including North Carolina, according to the state fire code. So here are some other ideas for you. You could fly kites or light luminaries, blow bubbles or light candles. Basically anything you can clean up afterward, which does seem pretty obvious. But if this is also obvious, then why do we still do it? Well, perhaps people, maybe we're just not thinking about the consequences, or some people just don't care enough. And can you blame them, really? I mean, let's look at the top 10 most littered plastic items in the U.S. Now, you won't see balloons on that list. I'm pretty sure some of the other stuff will look familiar to you. Plastic film, plastic containers, plastic bags, which, by the way, if you're saying, yeah, duh, Dan, that's why I recycle those items, I've got some news for you. Most of the time, you can't. Here's Wake County's website. No plastic food containers, no plastic cups, no plastic bags. On Raleigh's website, it says, reminder, no plastic bags. They get stuck in our sorting machines. And yes, you can take your plastic grocery bags back to most stores, and they will recycle them. But generally, people don't do that. According to Greenpeace, in 2021, out of the nearly 5 billion pounds of plastic waste in the U.S., less than 5% was actually recycled into something new. You remember that 12 North Carolina's worth of garbage floating around in the ocean? Do you notice more balloons in there or water bottles? Just something to consider next time you comment on a balloon release. You're right, they're bad. But if your activism stops with keystrokes, are you helping or just pretending to? Oh boy, that was a doozy. Let me know what you think. Give me your thoughts. Dan@WRAL.com. Tell me what's on your mind and we'll go in depth.
We can all do such a better job of caring for the environment. Yeah. Absolutely. A good reminder there from Dan.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this rain that's coming through. We had a little bit of a lull. Mm-hmm. Now we're waiting for this to come through.
Yeah, that donut that we showed at 6 o'clock, that's what's left of it. It's filling back in. So, yeah, showers are increasing again across the area. The first band of rain is now up in southern Virginia, has broken down. We're seeing more rain filling in across the triangle and even more to the south. And really, that's only the beginning. We expect far more rain to come in overnight, especially after midnight. And I think that's when the rain's going to be at its heaviest and most widespread. If you're watching from Purnell and Wake Forest, Rollsville, getting over toward Franklinton and Youngsville, you're seeing those showers in your neighborhood. They'll continue to move to the north. And this is what's heading our way. South Carolina, Georgia, there are more showers. There's a warm front that'll spread to the north, and the rain, again, after midnight will be heavier, and there'll be more thunderstorms, and the winds will be gusty at that point. So far, this is what we've seen. Almost 0.3 inch of rain out at RDU, 0.2 at Rocky Mount, Pine Level as well in Fayetteville. 1300s at Pittsburgh, Sanford, about 0.1 inch, and there's far more to come. Our models suggest we will see a soaking. It'll be nice to wash away the pollen, but you know it's only going to be temporary. Once we dry out Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, the pollen's going to reemerge. We have another dose of rain coming up next Wednesday, and hopefully that'll help out too. So here's town by town future cast. Temperatures in the 50s this evening. We see those showers moving through from south to north. That'll continue to be the trend overnight. And then watch as we get past midnight. We see more of this heavy rain. This has been consistent on all the runs of future cast over the past couple of days. We see the heavy rain moving through overnight, embedded thunderstorms. The winds could be gusty at this time, so you may be trying to sleep and all of a sudden the rain starts to batter against your window. Might wake you up. Be aware of that. 5 a.m. the rain could be heavy at times, 7 a.m. as well for southern Virginia and our eastern counties. And it's been also consistent that it'll lift this heavy rain out. And by the time we get to about lunchtime, it looks like pretty much the rain's come to an end. Now, there are other models that suggest there could be spotty showers through the afternoon. Futurecast shows that a little bit, so we'll hold on to a small chance of rain into the afternoon. I know there are a lot of Easter egg hunts tomorrow in the morning. I think most of them will end up being dry. You can join Brian Schrader tomorrow morning starting at 6. He'll have more about that. Showers likely, perhaps some storms overnight. Lows will be in the 50s. Here's a look at tomorrow. At least through lunchtime, we'll see some rain, but still can't rule out some activity during the afternoon. Our high temperature about 65. So it'll be a cool day and it'll be a breezy day. Again, rain is likely in the morning with about 65 in Raleigh, 66 Southern Pines, 62 at Roxborough. Your 7-day forecast. Sunday will be the bright spot of the weekend. Now, by the time we wake up in the morning, it will be colder with 38 the low. During the afternoon, winds could gust 25 to 30 miles per hour, 59 the high with full sunshine. Monday morning here in the Triangle, 36, but some of the normally colder rural areas could be around freezing. Keep that in mind. If you have agricultural interest, there could be a light scattered frost with light winds. 65 in the afternoon on Monday, another dry day on Tuesday. That next system comes in on Wednesday. Right now, it doesn't look quite as potent as what we're facing tonight. And then Thursday and Friday, we're still in the 60s. So cool weather as we go into next week. So not feeling all that bad.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Mike. Mm-hmm. Up next, 3 North Carolina high school students will play at Carnegie Hall this summer. One of them from Durham. Hey, make sure you have those lottery tickets. The Mega Millions drawing is tonight. The jackpot sits at $977 million. The drawing is on WREL right before our 11 o'clock newscast. Then tune in at the same time tomorrow night for the Powerball drawing. That jackpot is up to $750 million.
Hey, check this out. Brick by brick, the work to restore the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse continues. They ordered 1.2 million bricks to get the job done. Some of the originals will be replaced or relocated, and these aren't your average bricks. They had to replicate the ones from 1870.
They're a little bigger than the ones we use today. Construction will continue for about the next year and a half. Really cool.
Some of the most talented musicians in the country are from our area. Three high school students at the UNC School of the Arts will participate in Carnegie Hall's National Youth Orchestra this summer. Simon Vasquez Carr is from Durham. Gavin Hardy from Winston-Salem. Michael Stratford is from Mooresville. All play double bass.
I would love to hear him play. Congratulations. Yeah. That's really exciting.
Amazing. Thanks for making WREL your choice for local news. Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50, 11 on WREL.
Enjoy your night and have a great weekend.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.